Hello, everyone. Arrived in Chicago, O'Hare's International Airport. And for that trip, I drove to Chicago from Andrews, driving my wife's car, not mine. And then when I arrived, I got the car in the parking lot, and I was going back home. But since I was tired, hungry, I decided to stop at that plaza right after O'Hare, the one that you go below it, those plazas in close by the airport. So I parked the car. I went inside to eat something. And I went to the restroom. When I came back to the parking lot to where I left the car was not there. I said, man, I lived in Brazil all of my life. I've never lost a car in there, in São Paulo. And how in the world, somebody stole my car here in the U.S. I could not believe it. So I said, should I call the police first or my wife to tell her that her car is gone? So I decided to call the wife first. I call my wife.
Which is also the police.
I call my wife. I called her and said, baby, you're not going to believe it. Your car is gone. And I don't know what to do. When you lose it, I don't know what should I do. Should I call the cops now? And then I was talking to her, and then I turned to the building, and I said, and baby, they took McDonald's away as well. Yeah. Because it's not there anymore. It was a Taco Bell. It was a McDonald's. Now it's a Taco Bell. And then I kind of got it. So you know those plazas? They have the same, exactly the same thing. I was so tired, I came into one door, but I left through the other door. And then I walked through the whole thing, and there it was, the car. Can you believe if I had called the cops? And then I kind of, you know what, why this happened to me? Because I was distracted. I didn't see. Then I wonder how many times in my ministry I was also distracted, so I could not see. What I want to share with you this morning, friends, is just my experience with something that has changed my life, my ministry, a passion of mine, which is discipleship. It's hard in 20 minutes to mention all I would like to, but one of the things that I want to talk to is about this word here, choice. It's a choice. It starts with a choice. After spending almost 9 years in the U.S., I went back home with a call to, thank you, Willie, to plant a church in the heart of the city of São Paulo. It had been 47 years that we as church had not been able to touch the heart, the center of São Paulo. In the area, about 4 million people live close by, no churches, just one church that had started almost 50 years before. And I had this dream of starting a discipleship process in the church. And to be sincere, I finished my theological education at the bachelor's level. I was ordained as a pastor, and I had not heard this term before, discipleship. I had no idea what it was. When I came to the U.S. to continue my studies, then I first heard about it. And then I started to read about it. So after 9 years here, when I went back, I decided I need to do something regarding this thing, discipleship. And I just want to share a little bit with you with what happened. Let me just briefly here just introduce some of the purposes, original purposes in the whole process. Everything started with an invitation. That's when it started. Christ came to those two men, shore of Galilee, and he just gave them an invitation. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It was a life-transforming journey that just started. Very intentional. Christ knew the importance of that relationship with his disciples. He structured the pattern for discipleship for us with this simple invitation. Follow me. Follow me. But today's reality, friends, when we look around, we kind of, and I have heard, and you too, sometimes we think that discipleship is just a process for new converts, for the church that are coming to church. Sometimes we just focus on a brief orientation, training. We do, of course, present doctoral teachings, which are important. Denominational beliefs, comes the point in which the baptism is a reality to them. But the question is, are they automatically assimilated into the church, in the body? Do they become devoted disciples or not? So that's a concern that we should have. The results, when we look around, depending where you're coming from, many names on church books. Other areas, not so many names on church books. And unfortunately, we see this reality in which many people come as customers. They come to church to kind of taste a product, a religious product. Not very few committed, passionate followers of Jesus Christ. So, and the problem is that many parts of the world, the whole focus is on personal choices. Pretty much it's like this. This thing I like, that thing I don't like so much. So people are creating their own kind of religion. And actually, one of the sad things is that it becomes a routine because they are not really involved with God's dream for their lives. They didn't get it. What is true discipleship? What are we missing here? Of course, we have this tension between membership and discipleship. We have heard about it. I wish that every single member would come as a disciple. But we do have so many people, they are simply church members. They are not really engaged because they didn't understand the call, the invitation, when Christ said, follow me, because it does have implications to our lives. So what should be our primary goal? Some questions for our rhetorical questions here. How can we be meaningful as church and relevant? How a real disciple is formed? It's another important aspect. Before baptism? At the baptism or after? This is some of the things that we need to kind of think it through. How can we better develop a process in which real discipleship can be a reality? Just give me a couple of minutes. I want to just mention two things regarding the historical background of discipleship. Here we have an aspect that is important that I will draw some lessons to us. Throughout history, we have seen the experiences. They are lessons are taught from one generation to another through a process of relationships. We see so many Bible examples. I mean, Moses and Joshua, Elijah, and one of them, the strong one, it's Paul and Timothy. Just see this Bible verse that I brought to you here, what Paul says to Timothy: what you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching. Then he comes saying that the things which you have heard from me, then you should entrust these to faithful men who be able to teach others. Just pass on, get it, live it, and then you can transmit to others. When we look at the process of discipleship in the Greco-Roman culture, the word mathetes was used way before Jesus and his disciples. We see this through the Greek philosophers. They had their disciples. It is an important aspect in the process of teaching for them, but please pay attention to this. And of course, there are different ways of in which throughout history you can call that process, but this is the point I want to show to you. Towards the end, in the beginning, when you see the disciples of Socrates, Plato, and Herodotus, they had a close connection with their disciples. But as time went by, towards the end of the Hellenic era, direct contact with the master, the teacher, was not important anymore. The thing was just to learn the teachings. And actually, we have this today. It comes from this process. When you go to any educational process, you learn the content from the teacher, but you do not have a relationship with the teacher. It's not necessary. And it happened right here in this moment. So direct contact with the teacher was not necessary. When you go for the first century Jewish culture, we see a difference here, because the commitment with the teacher was so important. Training was done in community. The Torah was at the center of this learning process. We see the example of Paul, Gamaliel. So devotion to a teacher required an imitation of his life, a close relationship with the master. So in the Hebrew context here, discipleship meant more than simply sharing cognitive information, intellectual content. So the life experience, the relationship within the context of community was important to them. So it was important not only to get the content of the teaching, but also the values, embracing a life transforming experience with the master. And I'll come back to this in a few more minutes. You'll see in the end how this is important to us. Transforming discipleship. It is something that I just want to briefly mention to you here, how important it is for us to really understand. And when I'm talking about discipleship, I kind of create a list of elements in which those elements are so important that if you take one of them, the real experience of discipleship will not happen. And one of the words is transformation. Discipleship demands transformation. People cannot continue to be the same. But in the meaning of discipleship, when I'm talking about this, when I mention this, I have three things in mind. The first one is discipleship today is this connection of these three movements. The first one, classical discipleship, which we know well how to do. That's the Greco-Roman process. Somebody knows something, and you just bring people, and the content is shared. We do well. We know well how to do classical discipleship. But the other two elements and two movements are important as well. The second one is biblical spirituality, is spiritual growth, communion with God. Those elements I was mentioning to you, it's without communion with God, it's impossible to live the experience of discipleship. And the third movement, which I think is the hardest for us to understand, is the importance of relational discipleship. Discipleship demands connection with others. And in our Western way of looking at life, we kind of avoid this. You see, we talk a lot. We talk about community. But to talk about community is one thing. To live community is another different thing. So we need to understand the importance of this. And why I'm mentioning this, because during 10 years, as I was in the process of planting this church, we started with 8 families, 16 people in the heart of the city. And it was, to make a long, long story short, today we have an attendance of 1,400 people in the church. Mm-hmm. And during those 10 years, we changed the discipleship process 8 times. Because we were trying to find the best way to really get everyone connected with this. And I remember in the beginning, the first 2 years, I had this dream of developing this discipleship process. I created curricula, I trained people. It was all about training. It was awesome for 2 years. I had 5 modules, 5 levels of discipleship in the church, teaching the mission of the church, teaching the importance of spiritual disciplines, teaching the importance of spiritual gifts, the mission we have, and finally, community. But I noticed one thing. As we are moving forward in the stages, because in order to go to the second level, you had to finish level 1, the group was smaller. I had hundreds of people in the beginning, and then some of them were becoming PhDs in level 1 and 2 because they could not move on to the others. And then after 2 years, I had only 5 people who finished the 5th module, the 5th step. And then that's when I hit the wall. It was a hard lesson for me. I learned this not reading books. But I kind of realized, what do I do with them now? They finished the whole training that I had so dearly prepared. What should I do? Do I give them a diploma? Congratulations, now you are a disciple. You hang on the wall and keep on with your life. What do I do with them? So then I learned a lesson I want to share with you. For free. Everything that has a beginning, a middle part, and an end is not discipleship. Training is important. We should develop training for discipleship, but that's not the core of discipleship. Discipleship is much deeper than this. It's broader. And then I noticed the importance of this relational aspect. Friends, we kind of live, unfortunately, and please don't take me wrong. I'm not criticized. I love this church. The church is my life. But this fairy tale that we kind of go once a week and then we call people brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. And we even dare to ask, how are you, sister? How are you, brother? But we don't care.
Right.
You see, when you are saying, hey, how are you? You're not saying, I really can't. No, you say, it's hi. You see, don't tell me, please, because I have no time to you. Please don't tell me. And then we cannot connect. we cannot live the real experience of discipleship because we're not open up ourselves to this wonderful dream, which is God's dream to us, to our church. And it goes around this beautiful invitation here. Let me just go here quickly. How many more minutes do I have? Oh, my. This text has kind of transformed my life. All of us, we know well. The invitation is right here. You see, Christ says, if anyone desires to come after me. This, we don't have the word discipleship or disciple here, but it's the core of discipleship. It's a movement. If anyone desires to come after me, let him or her deny herself, himself, take up his cross daily, and then follow me. The same thing. What I love here is the very first word. If. A conditional particle. Because it demands, remember the first thing I said to you? Demands a choice. You're not forced to. It's an invitation. If you want to come after me, it's beautiful. When you break this in parts, the very first step to understand the importance to follow Christ, you need to put aside yourself, your egocentric desires. Discipleship is the path. I don't have time to develop this, but it's the opposite path to what Lucifer started in heaven. That's why Christ says, if you want to follow me, the very first step, forget about yourself. It's a daily choice that you have to take to make following him. There are so many barriers for discipleship. I have a list here. I could be here for at least 4 hours to talk to you about each one of them. Barriers to discipleship, because people don't want to go through this. But in this dream that we had to develop, in something that I'm just jump one slide here, Helen, to conclude, is after years changing the process, we kind of found a formula for us. And this is something that when I kind of share discipleship with local pastors, they get discouraged. I feel this in their eyes because they are looking for a formula. What? Tell me how to do. And that formula does not exist. You need to learn the elements of discipleship and apply in your own context, in your reality, in which people can really be connected. So we had this dream of as community to share our experience. So we started this forum called Sigami, which is Follow Me in English. It started five years ago. We decided to kind of go together as community and sharing with other communities, with other local pastors, with other leaders and church members, our own experience as church in discipleship. And throughout the past 5 years, on a yearly basis, we have developed this, in which we shared these elements of discipleship. In the context of a community that we developed in there, we share our own experiences, our stories. And these are the 5 years that we have been doing the process with Sigami. And the stories we have heard and the experiences we have had and on those days we spent together, they have been a life-transforming journey for us as well. The dream is this: how can we develop a culture of discipleship? Because I noticed one thing. When you're talking about discipleship with local pastors, they have so much stuff to do. And I was working as a pastor in a large church a few years ago. When a new idea comes from the conference or from the union, they get discouraged. Oh, man, I have one more. And then you come with this idea of discipleship. They say, my plate is full, and you bring one more thing. Because they didn't get it. The discipleship is not one more thing on your plate. Discipleship is the plate. Because we've been called to make disciples. That's the call. That's the goal. And we need to use everything you have for this only purpose of helping people to listen to the call, listen to the invitation, and make the choice using their free will to really follow Christ in the way that he wants, according to his dream. And I have just 1.5 minutes here. I just want to share with you here. sorry, guys, it's so much to share, but when we are talking about the reality today, I mentioned to you in the beginning, and that's why it's important. We have these two paths for discipleship. The first one, the one in which we are developing knowledge. We are sharing content with people. It's this intellectual, philosophical understanding. these cognitive exchanges of idea. And the second one is related to a relationship, is the Jewish approach. And please, this is the conclusion I have to share with you. We as church, we kind of, in general terms, most of what we do, we still put a considerable emphasis on this Western, Greek-based intellectual cognitive aspect of discipleship. And please don't take me wrong here. This is not wrong. Sharing content and training is not wrong, but it's not enough. That's the thing. We need to go to the next level. We need to go to the deeper process in which discipleship has to go with a deeper change in ourselves. We need more than church members. We need real people who wants to live this experience. Those who want to really accept the invitation, come, follow me, because I will change your life. There are so many things about discipleship, and friends, I just want to conclude with this. That's another lesson I have learned. Real discipleship, it starts with me. It starts with each one of us. It is not something that we can live only a couple of hours, once a week, inside a building. It has to go into our homes, in the way we are really interacting as community with those who belong to the family and those who do not belong to the family. It's a choice that I have to make on a daily basis. And I hope all of us will understand this and we'll live this transformation. Every time I have the chance to talk about this, I have a prayer in my heart. Father, as we are together, please, in some of them, bring some discomfort. We need to feel and to have this discomfort that some choices we need to make so we can really live this transformation in our lives. Thank you so much for your attention, and I really hope that the Lord will help us to grow in that direction, living a real experience with Him. Thank you.